Attention FM DJs in the greater Portland area. Your daily show prep begins now.
Seconds after the hour of 12 in this, the month of May, the year of our Lord 2006. Thank you for coming by, make it a part of your listening day. Live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. This is the Rick Emerson Show. We thank you for coming along. We are here in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. It is Friday. If you would like to be part of today's program, let me give you the phone numbers up top, as they say in Britain. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We've added a third Australian listener today, so I would like to say hello to Jeff in Australia. We add him to the already illustrious legion, including Mark and Luke in Australia. So thank you, and welcome to this radio program, sir. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Today, Friday, we are now, I think it's 11, although I could be making that up. I'm not entirely positive about the number. I believe it is 11 days until Horns Across the Hawthorne, and people have been asking about that. So Horns Across the Hawthorne, which will be happening on 666. And we will talk more about that later on today. I was bicycling over the bridge this morning, which I did because I'm a good person. And plus, you can't take the bus on a day like today. See, the urge is there to take the bus. Like, if you're a person who normally rides on a bike, a person normally walk, you do something that's sort of fittish to get to work. See, it rains outside and you want to take the bus, but you can't. Because today it's all hot, it's all humid, it's smoggy, it's muggy, it's wet, it's rainy.
It's all children going to OMSI.
And so it's like traveling.
Kids are everywhere.
You ride the bus on a day like today, it's like riding the subway in New York when it rains. It's like riding inside someone's small colon. It's like a small colon filled with even smaller children. So, anyway, so I bicycled today. So I'm going over the bridge, and I was kind of counting it out in my head. And I was taking a look, because there's that view right down onto the Esplanade. And I think, now I'm not entirely positive about this, we'll find out. I think we've also got a guy who's going to be taking some photos of us from a boat that's actually out in the middle of the river. So we'll find out about that. Coming up today, Scott Daly from Film Fever Radio. He swears on the life of his children that he has an actual film to review today. That's the good news. The good news is the film critic will be criticizing a film here on the program. The bad news is he really will be criticizing it because it's X-Men 3 and therefore a movie nobody really cares about. So it's a bit of a wash.
But Kelsey Grammer's in that.
Yes, huh? How can we lose?
And maybe co-starring Ricky Lake.
I want to pay them twice the ticket price. Okay. It's also got Halle Berry, who we used to... Remember there was like a day and a half when everybody liked her and was like, oh, she can really act. She's... And then we woke up the next day and we all realized it was a scam. So she's in... Halle Berry and Kelsey Grammer together in one film. Worth its weight in gold. Speaking of Scotty's, Scotty J is in the house. So we're coming up later on today, another installment of Scotty J's Man on the Street, which is now a bit that we will, I guess we're just going to be playing that every Friday until the end of time now. So we got a special installment of Scotty J's Man on the Street. It's a band or it's some sort of musical installment of Man on the Street. So that's coming up later on. But the big news, the really big, insurmountable, untoppable, unstoppable news today, my friends and neighbors and Romans and countrymen, is that we have a pair. Not just one. We have a pair, a duo, a couplet of tickets to see Steven Seagal, blues legend.
I don't believe it.
His performance. And the best part is that I came in this morning, I told Sarah, I'm like, hey, we got a pair of tickets to Steven Seagal. At which point, her face immediately sort of perked up, and she said, well, do I get tickets too? Which is, and the answer is no, by the way, because I never thought to ask, because who would ever... See, I was thinking it was something we were going to have to bribe people to go see. I wasn't really anticipating that people would be clamoring to see him. But I do have a pair of tickets to see Steven Seagal and his band I will not be in attendance, by the way. At no point will I be coming within 100 yards of Steven Seagal. It's not going to, I don't get MySpace friend or no. Doesn't matter. So we got Steven Seagal tickets coming up. I'm not quite sure how we're going to be giving those away, but that'll be sometime during today's program. What else? That's it. We got the Lisa Goddard, because apparently there was some violence and so forth.
There really wasn't.
Some shooting. Well, there was a guy firing a gun, right? Was he trying to kill people at least?
You know, the funny thing is, they haven't found the gunman. Somebody heard some noise that was similar.
There was a loud banging sound.
First it was gunshot, then it was gunshots, plural.
The clapping of an eraser at the Capitol. Well, in any event, we're going to have Lisa Goddard on. It's just an excuse to talk to her because she was all over CNN this morning.
Yep.
Because there was some kind of a ruckus.
There was a lot of, well, Lisa Goddard just told us.
Yeah. So it really is just a way for us to brush up against her greatness and glory. Jim Roop will also be here, ladies and gentlemen. Don't forget, we're coming up on Memorial Day weekend, and so we will be here on Monday, as we always are.
If we get in the building.
Providing you. Now, I got the key, baby, right here. Because apparently the whole building goes into, it's like that, it's like when the immigrants are all marching by and the building's in lockdown. Apparently you can't, there's two entrances to this building. There is the commoner entrance, which we all take, which is the Quiznos entrance, which is down here. You go into past the sandwich place. Now that's going to be locked. And then they've got this other entrance to the building, which is sort of this really gold festooned and opulent lobby. And I never come through there because I don't ever feel like I'm worthy. You know what I mean? It's like they got security guards there and it's all gold and glass. And you feel like you're trespassing in your own building. But you got to have a special card to get in there. But I am now equipped with said card. They have given it to me. So we will be here Monday providing a brand new program for it. Clyde Lewis will be with us in the studio Monday as well. We are joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon, who is giddy with excitement over the presence of Steven Seagal in our top 8 My Free Space Friends list.
Oh, boy. I just ripped my pants.
Okay. Gonna be the best show ever. Again! It's 5 days in a row that we've done the best show ever, by the way. Here's Tim Riley, the City Desk, working on the following stories for you today.
Remember Meatloaf's appearance at American Idol a couple nights ago?
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't. And a Florida woman, tired of the racket caused by a police helicopter over a house, fires rockets at it. Michael Jackson is Tokyo bound. And for the first of many holiday stories, two Washington State men lose their hands in an unfortunate holiday barbecue explosion.
Okay, I want to note, by the way, for those of you who are not able to view the Rick Emerson webcam because it doesn't exist, Sarah Dillon is now scotch taping the ass of her jeans together. Because here's what you missed. Just now, as Tim was giving us the overview, the overture, one might say, the preview of what was going to be coming up in the noon news hour.
The tease.
As Tim is teasing the news, see, Sarah and I have developed this unique skill, sort of. It's like a lip reading kind of a skill, which we've had to because we used to be spread out in like 5 different rooms. Now we are all consolidated, as God intended, in one studio. But the upshot of that is that Sarah, the unfortunate side effect of that is that Sarah and I can no longer secretly talk to each other over the closed circuit system, which we used to have. When we were all in different studios, I could be doing the show, Tim could be doing the news, whatever. And Sarah could be whispering secretly into my headphones, saying words that only I could hear. And so, like, I would be interviewing somebody, and Sarah would be whispering into me, he stinks of rotted fish, you know, or whatever, just into my headphones. We can't do that anymore, because we're all in one room. So now Sarah and I just have to mime and mouth words at each other. So just now, as Tim is teasing the news, this, and it's still in the early stages of development, this interesting monkey-like language that Sarah and I are doing with like a lot of pointing and sort of silent grunting. And so just now, she takes her two hands, and you know that motion when you're ripping up a piece of paper? She does that motion, and then like points at her ass, like big flamboyant, and she goes, there's a hole in the ass of my pants. You can see my ass. Like,
well, it's like, because you were trying to look, and I'm like, you can't look.
No, but is it literally, now where?
It's
now,
all scotch taped now.
Hold on, let me see now. All right.
You can't see anything, can you?
No.
Okay. Hi, Smokey.
How would you know? So the ass of Sarah's jeans, now scotch taped shut.
Because they're supposed to be like vintage, you know, like a little bit vintage worn out.
Oh,
and
they're distressed?
Exactly.
Yeah,
well,
okay.
And this is the only spot there was a, like, that it was really thin was on the ass.
I think that's by design, by the way, because then here, I'm going to do a whole thing about fashion trends in American life, but the distressed clothing thing is the biggest scam, and I know it's an obvious observation to make, but I mean, because I bought a pair of those. I went to the Gap, and I saw this great pair of jeans. I'm like, oh, those look good. I'll buy those. And then she takes her hands at me. I'm like, well, I don't want these. They're all... full of holes. These are all worn. And not only am I buying them, I'm doing that idiot American thing where I'm paying twice the cost because they're already, you know, because they got tears and nicks and rips and crap all over them. So the jeans are already sort of nicked up and they're getting ready to fall apart. And so, of course, they cost more. And so where on the guy, though, on the guy's jeans, the rip is right here on your right rear pocket where you put your wallet. And all of that means you're going to have those things like 3 weeks. First time you wash them and then put a wallet back in, it's going to tear right down the ass and you have to go buy another pair, which is obviously what's happened to those. You're a girl, though, and you can kind of stitch those up and it'll look stylish.
Yeah, I'll just get a patch or something.
All right.
Or just use the scotch tape. I love these pants, too. That
fantastic.
Sucks.
We really should get a close-up of your ass covered in scotch tape, which is fantastic. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, at the City Desk, it's your personal savior, Tim Riley.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour.
Does scotch tape make my ass look big?
From the City Desk, Tim Riley.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower, downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News Beat. Tim Riley reporting. There's an unfortunate incident to begin the holiday weekend. Naperville, Washington is where this story is. Two men each lost a hand, and a third suffered an injury to his face in an explosion at a barbecue in Naperville. Lewis County Undersheriff Gordon Spansky says a group of construction workers had been drinking at a campground. One of them tried to set up a homemade explosion in the barbecue. Well, they thought the fuse had gone out, so they reached in to relight it. It hadn't. Ba-boom! The two men lost both hands and were taken to Harborview Medical Center in Seattle.
I'm sorry, where was this at?
This is Naperville.
Where is Naperville?
It is up I-5. There's a gas station there.
Why do you know the answer to that question?
Because I stopped there to get gas one day.
Okay.
And it's a little speed trap up
there. Is it one of those towns that exists only because there is a gas station?
Yeah.
So the gas station is sort of the nucleus of that particular atom, everything. Mm-hmm. Like one of those college towns, but it's not a college town. It's a gas station town.
Right. It's like, I need gas and a little Debbie cupcake right now, so I better stop at Naperville.
I have to get a Zinger and some diesel.
Mm-hmm.
So let me understand this. So these guys, two guys?
Three altogether.
Three, of course.
But only two lost both hands.
You know what it's... So, but they're averaging like one and a third hands lost per guy, though, mm-hmm. really.
Which isn't
about,
bad.
No. They can still sort of button up their shirt if they can learn how to use a hook. Mm-hmm. Do you ever see a guy that has hooks on his hands and then you don't
not
want...
Not recently.
No, but I did. I don't know, not recently, but it was last year or something. This story reminds me of, though. Do you ever see a guy, though, not just the one hook, but he's got like, he's double fisting it, except without the fist because they're both hooks. Mm-hmm. And so he's double hooking it and you don't want to, but you start in your head going down the list of things you use your hands for on a daily basis, and you start wondering in your head exactly the schematics and logistics of executing all of those tasks. Yeah. It's a thing you don't want to do, but you start doing it regardless. So there's three guys in where? Naperville?
Naperville.
Naperville. And they've got what? A barbecue?
They got a barbecue going on.
Is it an actual, like, stand-up barbecue or like a barbecue pit? Does it say?
It doesn't really disclose.
All right. So they got a barbecue, mm-hmm. and then they do what?
They try to set off a homemade explosive.
Which, it doesn't really seem like setting off the explosive should be the hard part. It seems like if you're smart enough to build the explosive, the one is it that says that the light fuse and get away, mm-hmm. it seems like that should just be sort of, that should go without, that's a given that you're able to do that part. And here's something we all learned, or most of us, when we were five. When the explosive does not go off, you do not reach in. You retire somewhere for lunch. You come back an hour later. That's what you do. Because you know that that's God up there, just bored, waiting to see if he can take off somebody's digits, hand over the MAME button on his godlike computer keyboard, just waiting to take down a redneck.
All right. Well, it still doesn't stop them from procreating, does it?
No. No.
There'll be more of them coming soon. Doesn't matter if they lost a hand or not.
We'll be reporting on their kids in 16 years. Mm-hmm. It's just sort of a nice ongoing self. It's like an Escher painting of humanity. It just keeps going and going and going.
Well, here's another explosive story. This one from Florida.
And it's with the hole in the... There you go. Thank you.
Authorities in Orange County, Florida arrested a 44-year-old woman who was apparently angry at a sheriff's helicopter flying over her house, so she shot fireworks at the aircraft to get it to move. Sheriff's deputies at the Orange County neighborhood said, well, it was a woman, a homeowner... Marjorie Thompson allegedly ran out of her house with a bottle rocket launcher, then shot bottle rockets at the aircraft. She was likely annoyed at the sound of the helicopter, so she fired fireworks into the air. The pilot of the helicopter said the flight pattern was never in jeopardy, but launched the flammables into the air, and had the potential to spook anyone flying an aircraft. I imagine it would be.
You know, that whole state down there is just like that that town where all the circus freaks retired to, with like the Lobster Boy and the Alligator Woman. And it's just a whole, you know, to fence off that whole state and charge like a nickel to drive by it and look in.
So she was caught in the act of, well, firing a second bottle rocket at the same helicopter. She faces felony charges of shooting or throwing a deadly missile into an aircraft.
Good time.
Which isn't anything.
That's really, can I see the picture of this woman? This is how we can be attacking the national deficit right now. She looks like an angry woman.
She is an angry woman.
What does a 44-year-old woman have a bunch of bottle rockets laying in her house in Florida? Never mind. I don't want to know.
Getting ready for a cookout.
Why don't you come on over? We're going to blow some things up. Oh, God. That's really how we can attack the whole national deficit, right? Just guided tours of Florida. You just put up a whole huge plexiglass fence all the way around it. You can stand there, peer in for like 10 minutes for like $1.50 or something. There you go. All right.
Well, guns drawn, police briefly sealed off the Capitol this morning and launched a floor-by-floor search of the largest parking structure in Capitol Hill after an unidentified caller called and reported gunfire. Amid chaos and confusion, police say there were no injuries, arrest, or confirmation of gunfire. The report was shots were fired. This is in the garage of the Rayburn House office building. On high alert, police lined the streets between the Capitol and the Rayburn building. Rifles promptly displayed, and four ambulances, two fire trucks, other emergency vehicles on standby. Police searched the sprawling building where congressional staff locked themselves into their office as a precaution. Every square inch of the Rayburn building is going to be cleared out today as police make sure that there's nobody there who doesn't belong there.
Now, here's the great thing about this story is, first of all, are we now thinking that there wasn't actually ever a guy firing a gun? It was just somebody who heard like a backfire or the radiator kicking on or something?
An old Chevy backfires when they tried to back it up.
Packard was driving by, so we called. So I'm reading the Drudge Report this morning, and Drudge, here's the thing that is great, and every time we read a story from the Drudge Report, the email fills up with people who want me to be aware of the fact that Drudge is not necessarily the most reliable source of news, but that's what makes him so great for the show, because I don't really care about the accuracy of anything. And so, watching Drudge's site this morning was fantastic, because he was totally pulling, as Tim noted, a Geraldo, where, because these gunshots happened at the Capitol in D.C., and then the cops send... This is another reason why I got to get, like, a handheld. The cops send a BlackBerry message to everyone inside at once, like, this is the police. We're going to be coming through. Lock yourself in your office. All is well. Be safe. And then the cops are like, we will be coming door to door through the office. Lock your office. Stay inside. We will knock on the door. This is from the BlackBerry message that the cops sent to everybody inside. The cops are like, we will come to your office. We will knock three times. And then we will use the code word baseball. And then we will knock another three times. And then we'll come on in. Which is... You figure probably information that they don't want posted everywhere, everywhere on the internet for everybody to see. And so I went back a few minutes later and it's like totally been taken out. But it really is reminiscent of Geraldo. Which I think Geraldo did in the Fushers, like, the troops are right over here. And he's like drawing that map in the sand about where to bomb the American troops. And where is Geraldo now?
Oh, he's on some show now that nobody talks about.
Is he? It's on CNBC. He was everywhere because he quit his gig to go over and do the Middle East thing, and then now he's gone again.
Yeah,
that's too bad. Those were the days. All right.
Is there anything new on Capitol Hill? There, CNN's Lisa Goddard.
I think the biggest mistake.
Oh wait, is this me?
Yeah, that's you. That's
is this
that's
this
your
weird
special other... selection?
Oh,
yes.
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
I had no idea.
These things happen.
Okay, let's go ahead and, ladies and gentlemen, it's the okay.
CNN Radio, I'm Harry Beadle.
He's the fifth.
Holy deja vu. Harry Beadle.
Harry Beadle?
That report of shots being heard in the garage of the Rayburn House office building. CNN's Lisa Goddard was there. She is live from Washington right now. Lisa, do we
not
know
really
any
live.
More now than we did before?
Not much, Harry. The search continues. I'm
Harry
looking at
Beadle.
The Rayburn House office building now, where staffers have been in lockdown in their offices for nearly 4 hours. This after police received
just waiting
that
to die.
Call this morning, warning of gunfire in the building's garage. Police say they still have not corroborated that there was gunfire, but they're clearly taking this very seriously right
Wait,
now.
Wait, so it was in the parking garage?
Room
yeah.
And using code.
So it was a car.
To open
is basically
doors.
What we're saying here.
So it
yeah.
could be lengthy. The Rayburn building is one of the largest on Capitol Hill. Reporting live, Lisa
there was
Goddard,
a noise
CNN,
in the parking garage.
Capitol Hill.
And so everyone gets spooked.
So there was a loud popping noise in the parking
Allegedly.
Garage.
Allegedly. Somebody called in and reported it. As being so.
In the garage where all the cars are parked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Somebody may have slammed a trunk.
Let's move on.
Well, pregnant Britney Spears has thrown hubby Kevin Federline out of her home, heightening divorce rumors. He spent three out of the past four nights holed up in a flat with pals in Sherman Oaks while Britney remained home in Malibu. A pal said things have suddenly turned very sour.
Now, you know, you know what's going to happen, though, with Britney Spears? I was thinking about this because, Sarah, was it the other day you had that picture of Britney Spears where she looked cute, but only if it was from, like, 100 miles away?
Yeah, that was yesterday.
It was like with a tiny little thumbnail picture taken from across the street, but it's like as soon as you zoomed in, it was like Dawn of the Dead.
You know, I was looking at a bunch of blogs today, and Everyone was having the same problem as me. Everyone was trying, they're like, you're so close.
They're like, you're almost attractive again.
Exactly.
Now she looks like Tina Yothers.
Except that...
That's the picture.
Oh.
I think that's the close-up with the blotches on her face.
Oh, that's bad. I'm looking at this. This is from The Sun. Mm-hmm. As Drew Curtis would say, the sun is there. It's hard to tell here because it's black and white and she looks all pale. But this is... She's reached that level of fatness in this photo where... You know how in a normal person, there's your chin... And then it sort of curves inward, and then down to your neck.
She looks like Winona Judd.
That's what I'm saying. Imagine if you were to take the average person, you were to start at the chin, and you were to go to, you know, the throat and the chin. If it was just one big line of fat going from the chin to the throat, like it doesn't actually cut in towards the body at any point.
Yeah, like the CEO of Chevron you were talking
exactly,
about.
Exactly, like where his face is all sliding away, like it was made out of chocolate.
Where the neck starts at the ears.
That's completely what this is. She kind of looks like a blow-up doll of herself, a little bit like Christina Aguilera did in that one photo. Here's the thing, but I can already see the whole Britney Spears story arc playing out. Now, is it my imagination? Am I making this up?
No.
Was she ever on Desperate Housewives?
No, she was on Will and Grace.
Okay, I'm making this prediction right now. Here's what's going to happen. Britney Spears is chunky and unlikable now. And so what's going to happen is she is going to kick Kevin Federline out. They are going to break up. And then she's going to do that thing. She is going to live the cliche. Because there's the male side of the cliche and the female side of the cliche. We have all driven on the highway and seen the middle-aged male cliche. Sarah, the middle-aged male cliche you see on the highway is what?
Are you talking about like a convertible?
Yeah. And what color?
Red.
And who's sitting next to him?
A blonde?
Yeah. Saw one just like 2 days ago. Guy.
Or the giant trucks. My dad bought one of those giant Dodge Rams.
For Canyon Arrows.
Yeah. And grew a ponytail.
Just a little middle-aged man in a big, huge car. I was out on the highway the other day. Guy. I would guess 49 years old, 50, 55, maybe something like that. You know he's a Jimmy Buffett fan. Wearing a bad floral print shirt. Bad comb over. Blowing behind him. Top down. Red, shiny car. Blonde slut right next to him. That's what happens when you're a guy. When you are a woman, here's what happens. Britney Spears is going to get divorced from Kevin Federline, and then she's going to do that thing where she suddenly appears in public, and she's going to be like 100 pounds lighter. Her hair is going to be really blonde. She's going to be all made up and airbrushed. She's going to look perfect, and she's going to be living the swinging single life and showing that no man can keep her down. That will climax with an appearance on Desperate Housewives. I'm making that prediction right now. Britney Spears will dump Kevin Federline, lose weight, appear on Desperate Housewives. It will all happen within 3 years. Mark my words, you heard it here first. Right there. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, the president says probably the biggest mistake in the war in Iraq was the Abu Ghraib prison scandal.
I think the biggest mistake that's happened so far, at least from our country's involvement in Iraq, is Abu Ghraib. We've been paying for that for a long period of time. Unlike Iraq, however, under Saddam, people who committed those acts were brought to justice.
This is during a news conference with Tony Blair. He mentioned his bring it on and wanted dead or alive comments he made a few years ago. He said that sort of tough talk sent the wrong message to people. That was misinterpreted in many parts of the world. The president says he has learned some lessons about expressing himself in a more sophisticated manner.
Saying bring it on, kind of tough talk, you know, that sent the wrong signal to people. I learned some lessons about expressing myself maybe in a little more sophisticated manner.
That'll work.
Wanted dead or alive, that kind of talk.
That's sophisticated.
Who is this man? Who is this man they've replaced George W. Bush with that almost sounds like somebody who might be learning from past mistakes?
He's starting to talk like a Yankee.
I don't...
Someone from Massachusetts or that other country.
I don't know. This is all very confusing. I'm having cognitive dissonance trying to process these comments coming out of... Well, good for you, George W. Bush. Maybe somebody learned something from having an approval rating that was hovering near 9%. All right, good times.
Look who else is crawling at the press conference. Here's Tony Blair.
Since then, incidentally, our forces have been there with the United Nations mandate and with the consent of the Iraqi government itself the Iraqi government becoming progressively more the product of direct democracy.
The consent of the Iraqi government, the Iraqi government being like one guy pushing a broom somewhere next to a file cabinet.
It's that little fort that goes for a couple of blocks.
One square block of footage that we...
That's the democracy of Iraq.
All right, well, we should break here. Coming up, Lisa Goddard's going to talk about, I don't know, whatever the hell, whatever this thing that happened at the Capitol. That's coming up.
We have Ken Lay. Meatloaf.
Meatloaf, who apparently does not remember performing on American Idol the other night. What else? Scotty J, Man on the Street. Scott Dowley is going to be here to review X-Men 3 later on. It's 503-733-2970. You stay right there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. Seriously, I gotta go in and take this out. Because I'm gonna have to shoot someone if I can explain. That was probably their plan all along. It's 5 o'clock. Alright. It's 503. You know, every time this plays, a puppy dies somewhere. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Coming up later on, CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop, also Scott Dally, is going to be here. And we'll have the intern Scotty J, Man on the Street, once again. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, live from the shooting gallery that is Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard. Lisa, how are you?
Rick, I'm alive. I'm a survivor.
You've taken life by the horns. Every day after today is a gift, Lisa.
That's exactly right. I am blessed. I am blessed.
This was really just a car backfiring in a garage, wasn't it?
It was actually an air drill in a garage.
Okay, there we go. All right, so this...
Pneumatic drill in an elevator in a garage. Somebody heard it, called Capitol Police, and said they heard gunfire.
This really doesn't speak well for the general sense of unease apparently permeating Capitol Hill. If every time somebody turns on a power tool somewhere, people are thinking that they are under assault.
Yeah, I guess that's true. It just takes one person, one call, to send the alert system up to, I guess it was DEFCON 4 today, and they were right. If there really had been gunfire in the garage, they needed to shut down the complex, and they didn't know for a long time what was going on. So
now, is this an actual? When you say DEFCON 4, is there an actual sort of ranking system for this sort of a thing? Because there is like a DEFCON 1 blah 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 system for
right.
for missiles, and then there's
NORAD,
like the
right.
And then yeah, the NORAD has that, and then there's the color code thing that Tom Ridge gave us, and then there's something else that has to do with like when your dry cleaning is ready.
Right.
Yeah, I have no idea. So anyway,
that's not an actual term that is in use on Capitol Hill. I threw that in here, but they do have different states of readiness, and I'm not sure if there is a name for the status that they are at today, but it's. It was a pretty high level.
For me, there were two highlights of this. One, the highlight number one was when our news director, Tim Riley here, heard you actually doing the live report. He said, hey, Lisa Goddard is doing the report from Capitol Hill. She's on the scene, and it was fantastic. You sounded poised and informed.
Still on the scene, apparently not as exciting now.
And B, the other great moment today was when Matt Drudge decided that it was a great idea to post on his website the entire unexpurgated contents of the BlackBerry communication between the police and the people still inside, including the code word that the police would be using to let people know that this is not the gunman knocking at the office door, which I think anybody then with a wireless connection was able to see. So. That's right.
And it was interesting. I doubt they'll use it again, but you know, CNN, we had our whole email traffic about that and about how we would report it. We all agreed not to use the word, but interesting, it was a sports reference.
Yeah.
But that's what the police picked. They went with a sports reference.
Well, Matt, Drudge is sort of a journalist in quotes most of the time, so you know what I'm talking about. So when you, now, we're very glad that nothing serious happened, that no one was harmed, but so is this sort of like the firehouse thing where you guys are like sitting around just like at the card table or whatever, and when that alarm rings, you know, you're thinking, this is it, here comes the Pulitzer. This is, here it is when I, Lisa Vanessa Goddard take center stage, everyone will know my name by the end of this day. Is that is like?
You... Yeah, that's so. Well, you know, I didn't think it, I don't think like that. There are times when you look back on a story and you're like, wow, I wish I'd done this or I wish I'd done that. It's almost more hindsight when you have those thoughts. But no, I think when this something like this happens, all you're thinking about is where you got to get to in the next minute. Where are things happening? And I just immediately found a path around some police so that I could get at a good vantage point. And from there, you just kind of, you know, I ended up way across Capitol Hill before I knew it. You're not really thinking. And that with a story like this, that you kind of question it from the beginning. You're not really sure what's happening. You don't think this is the big one. You know, this wasn't, clearly it didn't feel like a 9/11 story from the beginning. It just felt like an incident. We just didn't know what it was. But yeah, your adrenaline gets rushing. But I never thought about the Pulitzer. If I had, I would weep.
This is like,
it was not there. Thankfully, that was never in my thoughts.
This is like we were on the air, I don't know, a few weeks ago, and somebody sent us this false news report that Will Ferrell had been killed in a paragliding accident. We were all excited for like 6 minutes.
Oh, that's so messed up.
I know. No, I know. I'm not saying that I wish Will Ferrell death. I hope he lives a long, healthy life. All I'm saying is, God forbid, should he be struck down and smited in some way, I would like to think that out of those lemons could come journalistic lemonade. And then we found out it wasn't true, and we were all kind of happy and sad at the same time.
Right, but I guess if you're going to go paragliding is the way to do it.
Well, I mean, it's really, it's either that or just mauled by a mastodon. That's kind of how I want to go out.
I don't know. I think this is just another test today for Capitol Police, and it looks like they did pretty well. But those folks in the Rayburn office building were there for 5 hours. They had the signs up. I was reporting earlier, you know, help, send pizza. You know, it was so, I think people, there really wasn't too much anxiety. One woman was taken to the hospital for an anxiety attack, but.
Maybe they were just preparing maybe they were just drilling for the next time Cynthia McKinney pays a visit or something. Who knows?
It is possible. They're also saying James Sensenbrenner might have just gotten mad, really mad about immigration and needed some power tools.
Seriously. All right. Have a good weekend, Lisa. If we don't talk to you on Monday, we will talk to you very soon.
All right, happy Memorial Day.
All right, you as well. CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard there, live on the...
Cop across the face in the parking garage.
What's that?
Maybe that was the sound of McKinney slapping some cop across the face in the parking
garage. Well, didn't Lisa tell us earlier this week or last week that we got to be waiting for... she didn't tell us this, of course, because it would be wrong for her to give us the... Mm-hmm. But she hinted that there was going to be more Cynthia McKinney news coming. Didn't she say that to us? Wasn't she like,
did.
Remember that name, Rick Emerson?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Tim Riley.
Well, listen to this. Former Enron executive Ken Lay says he's stunned that a Houston jury convicted him. Number four.
Certainly, we're surprised. I think probably more appropriately to say we're shocked. Certainly, this was not the outcome we expected. Firmly believe I'm innocent of the charges against me. Yeah. As I have said from day one, I still firmly believe that as of this day.
No, I don't want to go to any kind of prison. Oh, it's too late. Mm-hmm. Too late, my friend. You're a very bad person. You're going away for a long, long, long time.
Now, be that as it may, he'll look to God to overcome his difficulties.
We believe that God, in fact, is in control. And indeed, he does work all things for good for those who love the Lord.
No.
And we love our Lord. No. And ultimately, all of these things will work for good.
Now, the only advice God has is to try to unclench and shut your eyes. That's the only way to get through it.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Time for the Jackson Watch.
Here's your Jackson Watch.
There's a brand new Michael Jackson news. He plans to make his first public appearance since his trial acquittal last June at a ceremony in Tokyo.
They worship him as a great white god
there. To accept MTV Japan's Legend Award. His participation in the award ceremony will be Saturday at the Olympic Stadium. It'll launch an Asian tour. He plans to visit Singapore, Shanghai, Hong Kong. Jackson has been living in Bahrain since his acquittal. The Asian tour is being organized by Broderick G. Millis, the chief executive of Positive Productions Yokohama Entertainment Promotions Company. Michael Jackson is a legend. He loves Japan and we love him, said Morris in a press conference. We look forward to welcoming him Jackson is quoted as saying, I look forward to my visit in Japan because I have so many fond memories of my visits there. I thank MTV Japan for this honor and Mr. Morris for spearheading this visit.
I suppose it doesn't hurt that everybody in Japan, you know, who's looks like they're 12 there. So, mm-hmm. so
I look forward to seeing all my old friends
okay.
and saying hello to my huge fan base in Japan.
All right.
Who have constantly shown their love and support for me and my family.
Okay, it's all very unnerving. There's your Jackson watch rant.
Don't let the sun go down on me.
When you're in exile sometimes, you should just stay in exile. There's... You can't have a comeback if you're never gone.
Well, remember Meatloaf's performance Wednesday at American Idol?
Yes, I do, Tim Riley.
Well, he doesn't.
Oh.
Meatloaf has absolutely a gripping television stage presence. Also, a gripping television stage fright. Yet he still performed with Catherine McPhee on the finale.
He played through the pain.
Mm-hmm. He said the only thing he remembers is that the television people were telling him he had less than 2 minutes before he went on, and that he was walking off stage and thought he was going to pass out.
Can I just mention for a moment, just while we're talking about this, that I am still stunned by the level of vitriol that was unleashed yesterday in the program just by the two words, American Idol.
I'm not talking about it, except to say
two things. A... It really is stunning.
You totally have been painted as unfairly American Idol fan.
I spent the first goddamn hour of the program talking about how I watched the finale of American Idol, which I will not recap, but simply saying that I watched it and it was torture. It was painful. It was like being bathed in acid. And yet somehow by the end of the program, I was getting all of these emails sort of like, I cannot believe you are an American Idol, but you are dead to me. I will no longer look up to you as any role model. Somehow everybody expected me to just be driving a station wagon and going to Food for Less every day. I have no idea where that perception came from, since I believe the first phrase out of my mouth yesterday was, I suffered through the excruciating ordeal that was American Idol.
Yeah, but so, you watched it.
Yeah, I've gone to the dentist too. It doesn't mean I got a fetish for having my mouth drilled. Yeah, you know what I'm saying there. Anyway, about Meatloaf, though. If you read his book, To Hell and Back, an autobiography.
I've read it. It's awesome.
You read my copy of it.
I did.
We are big Meatloaf fans at the Rick Emerson Show, and we are unashamed of that fact. You can tell the guy's just a big, weird ball of neuroses. Because your friend was married to his daughter and said he was kind of a jerk,
mm-hmm.
which is too bad. But I mean, you gotta figure that guy's been through so much. I mean, you gotta
He's had a rough life.
Really, the dad trying to knife him when he was like 16 and like bankrupt 3 times and got called Meat his whole child. I mean, it's gotta be weird to be that guy. And Meatloaf is one of those guys that has just, for so long, was just so forgotten by everybody. People don't really realize that. See, and you are probably a shade too young to really remember this, but Meatloaf was just beyond a has-been. He was just complete. Not even a has-been, because a has-been implies that people remember you and they go, oh yeah, they used to be that guy. Where's he? But it's like Meatloaf, they didn't even remember him. He was gone, vanished from the cultural scene. He was coaching softball. That's what he was doing. He was doing nothing. Which made that comeback all the more inexplicable and amazing and great. But clearly, that guy's just been traumatized by just being screwed by show business, like one time after another, after another, after another. So, and he's got, and I guess he didn't have stage fright, but he does. This is a well-documented thing. He's got the thing where you put the camera on him and he starts to freak out. So,
well, he has no memory of what happened in the middle of the show. He admits he sat down and began to cry like a baby afterwards.
Oh, that's sad.
He says he's surprised, as well as most in the world of medicine, that he hasn't died of a heart attack. Meanwhile, McPhee had told him during rehearsal she wasn't nervous at all, and Meatloaf says he wishes he could be with her for 5 seconds.
I'm sorry?
He said he wishes he could be with her for 5 seconds. Oh, I'm sorry. He wishes he could be her for 5 seconds.
All right. I mean, I guess any meat is good meat, but I mean, uh-huh. What are you going to do? All right, there you go.
Madonna has defended a controversial Mark crucifixion in her stage show, saying it's part of an appeal to an audience to donate to AIDS charity, so that makes it okay. I don't think Jesus would be mad at me, and the message I'm trying to send, she tells the Daily News. UK and US church groups condemn the stunt after the singer began a 51-day world tour in Los Angeles. The Church of England, what would be left of that? said Madonna felt the need to promote herself by offending so many people.
The Church of England is just two guys sitting around a bad card table eating day-old scones at this point. There's really
anybody want to rent this building for a wedding?
There's really a whole lot of just they don't even have bingo to make money over there. There's just a whole lot of there's not a whole lot left of the Church of England.
Well, Jesus taught us to love thy neighbor, Madonna told the newspaper. This is not the first time her concerts have upset the church. In 1990, the Pope called for a boycott of the Blonde Ambition tour, which Madonna simulated masturbation during Like a Virgin. The video for Like a Prayer also brought condemnation from groups claiming it was blasphemous.
That's the best video ever. You know, I got to tell you, I was watching that just the other day on VH1 Classic because I'm old. And many of those videos from that era do not hold. I am not one of those. I don't look back with rose-colored glasses and think, you know, this. I don't look back and be like, this video by Trickster really is still cutting edge and it doesn't feel dated at all. I realize that almost all of that crap is terrible now. You watch it and it's all like it's oversaturated and it's like shot with a handy cam. And every video, have you noticed this? Every single video from the 80s ends exactly the same way. I didn't notice this until like last week. I was watching VH1 Classic and it's a Billy Squier video. One of the many, 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 many gay looking videos that Billy Squier made where he is for some reason. What is that video? Is it Rock Me Tonight where he's in, I swear to God, it's like a powder blue and pink leotard leaping around his bedroom like a woman. And an overexcited woman. He's leaping around like that character that Gilda Radner used to play on SNL when she would run into walls. She was like the little girl. Mm-hmm. He's jumping around the room. I think it's the video for Rock Me Tonight. Anyway, but so he's watching this Billy Squier video, and they end the video the same way that all of them end, where he does like the big flamboyant gesture like a, you know, wow, you know, towards the camera, and then they freeze frame and the fade out. And that's how they don't do that anymore. The freeze and fade, that's a lost art in video. Doesn't happen anymore. What was my point? Oh, so I'm watching VH1 Classic and they play the Like a Prayer video, which is still fantastic. It's a great video. It's got the quintessential distillation of every element that made Madonna great. Cause it's got the black gospel choir singing, so it's got like the soul element, and it's got her kissing the black Jesus who comes off the cross, and then it's got her that great scene where she's, her bosoms are falling out of her dress as she's dancing in front of a whole field full of burning crosses. It really is just, it's just fantastic. There's no words for how great it is. And that was the hottest she ever was, too. That was the hottest phase Madonna ever went through. She was never that hot again. She did jump the shark immediately following that episode.
But I'm going to go see her tomorrow night anyway.
Now she is performing. Where is
at the MGM Grand.
At the MGM Grand? All right. Now you're staying at the MGM Grand, are you?
No, I'm staying next door at the Tropicana because that's a step above that.
Tropicana? For $1.99. Tropicana where you can stay for box tops.
Where the pool hasn't been drained in 30 years. It has been used as a potty place for 6-year-olds.
Seriously. The Tropicana, which... I mean, I shouldn't mock it. That's where I've stayed. The first two times I went to Vegas, there's floating around the net, you've seen this picture of me back when my hair was really long, standing in front of the Hard Rock. It's like me, I'm all pasty and thin, and I have bad hair, and I'm wearing my Ramones shirt. I'm standing in front of the Hard Rock Hotel, like right in front of the big neon guitar. But the first couple times I went, me and my friend Todd went, and it's like, that's where we stayed. It's right there at the Tropicana, man. It's like, this is like the cheapest. Because it doesn't matter. It's like, we have this friend Trey, and his whole thing is like to go and like find the most expensive suite he possibly can at the Luxor. Which it's like, for me, the room in Vegas is so unimportant, it doesn't even matter. So, especially if you're, because you don't gamble, so if you're not going to be dropping any money at the blackjack table, you're going to come out ahead anyway. Because that's what they do, man, is that they expect you to go and, you pay whatever for the tickets and you blow all your cash on the poker room before you go.
Yeah, just ask for the cheapest room, get the one with the bed bugs. That's only what's in here.
Can I have a room where someone has died? All right, here's Tim Riley.
Now, police in the Austin suburb of Round Rock have arrested a man who allegedly walked into a bank, demanded money from a teller, and then sat down and read a magazine. Peter Wendell Gunn surrendered to police about an hour after he went into the bank and demanded an undisclosed amount of cash. After the teller gave Gunn the money, he sat down on the couch inside the bank and started reading while everyone else evacuated. Authorities sealed off the area around the bank, which was only a half block from the police station, until Gunn surrendered. He never used a weapon. He's being held in, he'll go before a magistrate today on suspicion of robbery.
What is this guy, Scotty is correcting me, talking about the Like a Prayer video? Right, that's what I was saying. Yeah, no, the Like a Virgin video is the one where she was, I don't even remember what the video for Like a Virgin is. No, I'm talking about Like a Prayer. No, he said I mixed the two. No, I didn't mix the two. Whoever that would tell whoever that was.
They don't know what they're talking about.
They're fools. I mean, listen more closely. All right. Scotty's typing them on the screen. Yes, Rick, you are always right. There you go. That's what I'm talking about right there. Here's Tim Riley.
Now, that's a successful internship.
That's the see right there.
That's the way it's done.
That is the path to success, Scotty J. It's 503-733-2970. Here's Tim Riley.
Time for the Hick Watch.
Here's your Hick Watch. He's typing it now. Would you like some coffee?
Makes me feel yeah. Copenhagen, the way I know it should. Well, I put a little chew in my mouth, go spitting, slobbering on around the house. That the Copenhagen makes me feel so good. Oh, yeah.
Country radio Nixies, the Dixie Chicks. It appears, Mother War between U.S. radio stations and the Dixie Chicks has not abated in the least.
They didn't do the Walter Winchell where they abbreviated all, you know, Hick Sticks to Nick Sticks Chicks, you know, or something, you know, whatever. They missed an obvious headline there.
The band is promoting Take the Long Way and its first album since Natalie Maines told a London audience in 2003 she was ashamed to be from the same state as U.S. President George Bush. The comment sparked a radio boycott of the group's music. Although the album hit stores Tuesday, the first two singles from the album are not getting widespread airplay, according to Billboard.com. The first single, Not Ready to Make Nice, only peaked at number 36, but this is only the first week out at the Billboard Hot Country Songs chart.
All right, so the record came out, today's Friday, right? So it came out 3 days ago. Mm. So the record came out on Tuesday. This first single they released, which is Not Ready to Make Nice. What do they say? It peaked at number 37?
Yeah, well, number 36.
And the problem is everybody is trying to cast this as some sort of reflection of the song's quality, which is not. Mm-hmm. It's because radio airplay, it's been a long time since I was a DJ, but to the best of my knowledge, radio airplay, they still do it the same way. It's not so much done by sales anymore, it's done by spins, or they call around to radio stations, and radio stations report how often they're playing a song or whatever. So it's not really that people don't like the song, because I would imagine that people are probably just not being exposed to the song, since many country DJs are opting not to play it, which is a problem that they've had in the past, because that's what, not a big secret, didn't Couple, which is our sister station here, didn't they pull the Dixie Chicks from their playlist?
They pulled it, KWJJ did not.
Really? And yeah. So that was the whole divide about are they going to play the Dixie Chicks or not, because she did, what was that thing she did? Oh, yeah, she said what she was thinking. And so therefore she wasn't an American anymore.
She wasn't with Toby Keith.
Toby Keith. Don't you just want to pack that guy's big dumb ass into a plane and send him over there with a gun?
Front line.
More than anything.
Well, he seems to have disappeared a little.
You know, that would be a reality show that I'd pay to see. Toby Keith's fat, stupid ass is sent over to Iraq with a gun. I'm going to write that down right now. You'd watch that. You'd watch that on pay-per-view.
I'd fly the plane.
Moronic Hicks are sent to fight a war. That's a reality show right there. Hold on. Moronic Hicks. Sent to fight war. All right, there you go. And nobody's playing this new Dixie Chick song either, which is called Not Ready to Make Nice. And you know why? We've asked, and we won't use any names here, but we have asked around to a few people in the country radio business, and we have said, are you playing the new Dixie Chick song? And they've all said, no, we're not going to play that. And then they hastily add, though, they always hastily say, it's not because of the political content, of course. It is just not a good song. We do not feel it would resonate with our audience, which is a bunch of crap, clearly, because anybody with ears who's heard the song knows that it's a great song musically. It's produced by Rick Rubin, by the way.
I want to hear it sometime.
He of Beastie Boys, Public Enemy, Slayer fame. He did this new Red Hot Chili Peppers record too. In fact, I think he's done the last four. It's a fantastic song. But the great thing about the song, because it had nothing to do, I think, with whether you agree with what she said or whether you're for the war or whatever. Country music used to be a bastion of rebels and outlaws and people who kind of said what they were thinking.
The Willie Nelson era.
Well, do you remember? I mean, Tim, you're old enough to remember that there was an outlaw era in country, which was Waylon mm-hmm. and Willie and Jesse Coulter. Mm-hmm. And we've got this whole thing now where Toby Keith has been, you know, marketed as this rebellious outlaw country singer. And I'm not exactly sure when agreeing with the government made you an outlaw. There was some sort of paradigm shift at some point where as soon as you started agreeing with everything the White House said, you're an outlaw. There's nothing more rebellious than agreeing with the White House. I'm an outlaw. I parrot the government stance. So the Dixie Chick song, which I have, we can play it later. We can play part of it. It's fantastic because the whole song is just a big F you. It's a whole thing about, like, I am not going to apologize, and you can eat me if you don't like it. It really, and the video's
is
great.
Is that what one of the Dixie Chicks said in the song?
No, she didn't. She did not say that.
That's
but hilarious. It's a whole lot of, I'm not apologizing for Jack, and you can bite me if you don't care for that. So, and you got to admire that. Let's see, this guy is, all right, let's see, Mark, Hi, Mark, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Not much, man. You're saying that Scott was arguing the point of the Madonna video earlier, something like that? He was saying you have the wrong one?
I don't know. Tim was talking about... Okay. We're all men here, but let's just point this out. So Tim was talking about Like a Virgin. That reminded me of the Like a Prayer video, which I do believe that Like a Prayer is the quintessential, the definitive Madonna song and video. A caller accused me of confusing the two, and I was pointing out that I don't think that's the case. I don't know a lot about a lot, but I know my Madonna videos, friend.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind then. I've just wasted a bunch of your time.
Well, don't feel bad about it. It's okay. You're only taking up airtime that thousands and thousands of people are listening to.
Excellent.
Okay. Thank you, Mark.
Bye.
All right. There you go. Rick, the caller was wrong. The Like a Virgin... Oh, God. The Like a Virgin video was the one with Madonna in Venice. This is from a man, by the way. The caller was wrong. The Like a Virgin video was the one with Madonna in Venice, floating down the canals in a green leotard with her bangly jewelry. She also... I'm quoting now from this email from a man... In that video, she also cavorts with a lion. By the way, I know way more about Madonna than any human being should. That is from a man who I will leave nameless. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, that's our Hick Watch for today.
Not the Madonna part, more the Dixie Chicks part.
Makes me feel good. Copenhagen, the way I know it should. Well, I put a little chew in my mouth, go spitting, slobbering all around the house.
How about you? All right, here's Tim Riley.
Let's see what's on the TV tonight.
Let's.
Freaky Friday with Jamie Lee Curtis and Lindsay Lohan. Also, how William Shatner changed the world, a two-hour special.
Fantastic.
That's on the History Channel of all places.
Excellent. Wait, hold on. History Channel, what time?
That is on at approximately 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. I'm all over that. All right.
Frankenfish. A genetically altered snakehead fish escapes and satisfies its ferocious appetite by preying on people.
The Sci-Fi Channel, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Man, let me just tell you this. I saw the worst movie on the Sci-Fi Channel the other day. It was The Man with the Screaming Brain, which is that Bruce Campbell film. And it's like, I want to like it because it's Bruce Campbell and he's... He was Ash and so forth, and he was, you know, and he lives in the Eugene or whatever the hell. He lives somewhere near here. And it's just so bad. Not even bad in like a really satisfying, boy, this is campy kind of way. Just bad in like it makes your soul hurt kind of a way. So if you see Man with a Screaming Brain, come on, just pass over that. By the way, speaking of geeks and films, so I was reluctant to even mention this because I don't want the place to fill up and then I can't get in. But I was bicycling in this morning. My route takes me right by the Clinton Street there. And the Clinton Street, they used to just do a lot of obscure films, and they did like weird, like sort of commercials and public service films and whatnot. But they changed owners like a year and a half, 2 years ago, and they've gotten a lot more, I don't know if the word is mainstream, but it's sort of mainstream fringe, if there is such a thing. Tonight, they're doing a double feature at the Clinton Street Theater at 9, I think it's either 9 or 9:30. They're playing Ed Wood, the Johnny Depp Tim Burton film, which is, by the way, to me, I'm saying for me, is the greatest of all Tim Burton films.
Yep.
Not the definitive one, because that's probably Edward Scissorhands. Like, if you were gonna show Space Alien to Tim Burton film to say, like, this is Tim Burton and this is what he does, it would be Edward Scissorhands. But I say his best film is Ed Wood. That is tonight, followed by an actual Ed Wood, Wood film, which is Glenn or Glenda. So, Ed Wood, followed by Glenn or Glenda. That is tonight at the Clinton Street. So you really ought, as Kurt Loder would say, do try to catch it. You really ought to be there.
Oh, what is Scott Daly's old films that he took us to see? Stealth is on TV tonight. Remember that one?
No. Is Stealth the one with, is that the plane?
It was so bad.
Wasn't that just in the theater like a week ago? Wasn't that with Jamie Foxx? Where it's like the plane, it's like a Knight Rider. It's like a Knight Rider in the air. You know what that movie was?
Starring Josh Lucas. Three pilots, combat artificial intelligence.
That's exactly what it was. It's where it's it's the plane that... It's where they've developed a plane that can think for itself, and of course, it follows the template of every one of these films.
It was like a bad video game when your quarter lasted like 3 hours.
they developed this plane that can think for itself. Then, of course, the military develops it as a weapon.
And it's gonna be taken.
And then it does the Skynet thing, and it achieves self-awareness. I'm gonna give away the ending right now. Do you wanna know the ending?
The robot.
Yes.
Okay, your robot does it. Actually, that's true. So the plane achieves self-awareness, and then it's like plane versus military. They have to take on a creature that they themselves created when it turns on its masters. So they have to battle the plane, but then at the very end, the plane, which is a computer which has achieved self-awareness, the plane sacrifices itself to save one of the good guys. And then they're, like, going to haul it off to the scrap heap or whatever. And Jamie Foxx, I believe it's Jamie Foxx at the end, he utters the immortal line because they're going to haul the plane to the scrap heap or something. And Jamie Foxx, like, says, no, no, no. He died a soldier. There you go. Now you don't need to see it.
Also behind the music, the Panteras.
There you go. Pantera, screamy guy. And then another guy gets shot. We should break here.
Sure.
Okay. We're going to break, kids. It's Friday. It's 5:03. 733-2970. 503-733-2970. It is the Rick Emerson Show coming up on a three-day weekend. Don't forget, we'll be here on Monday. Coming up in this next hour, Jim Roop from CNN Radio is going to be here. We're going to be giving away a pair of tickets to see Steven Seagal. That is this Sunday at Dante's. What else? Scotty J, Man in the Street. Scott Daly will be here as well. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Back after this. Stay right there.
Because I'm somewhere. We'll be right back.